Everybody's too somber for a couple of days after Christmas. Are you still full of turkey? I think we all need to stand up and just say hi to somebody. Say hi to somebody that you haven't said hi to this morning. Quickly, grab up, stand up, say hi. No hugs, I mean multiple hugs. Yeah. God is good, hey? God is good. So I did that specifically because I felt God say to us, we want to start this year like we want to finish the year. And we've started that way already. I was so grateful to hear how Bio led the prayer meeting this morning, just looking at the topic of thankfulness. Yes. Oh, that's fine. Sorry, kids. Kids, yes. Yes, sorry. No. No announcement. So, yeah, we're starting the year with thankfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling so thankful for what God has for us and for what he's done for us. And I felt as I was preparing this preach that God was reminding us that thankfulness and joy are found in him. And I want to look at those topics this morning, especially joy, just to have us be grounded in the fact that as we go into the new year, we're not going in wondering, how many of you are thinking already about next year? And I must confess, this has been me. I wonder if we'll have an election next year. Anybody had that thought cross their mind? Yeah, yeah. Look, I see hands going up. Some of you, I wonder, I mean, just put in your mind anything. I wonder if I'm going to get an increase next year. I wonder if I'm going to do this, whatever that. You know, we think ahead on things like that. But I felt the Lord say, I felt Abba Father say to us, think ahead with thankfulness and joy of what I'm going to do. Think ahead of what I'm going to do. And just in keeping with that, I wanted to look, Bio said this morning, are we able to still, you know, wish people Merry Christmas after Christmas Day? Well, I'm going to be talking about some carols this morning because it's still Christmas, right? Hey, look at the trees and everything around. We always laugh at Lynn. When she was a kid, she used to have, her family had this tradition of singing Christmas carols on Christmas Eve. And she always used to sing, and she used to say to them, I want to sing the one about the tool shed. And they were like, the tool shed? There's no Christmas. And they would go through racking their brains the first time she said that. What tool shed? And then they remembered, and then they worked out. She was like, once in Royal David's City stood a cat. What's it? How does it go? Cat stood a lowly cat tool shed. She thought cattle was, yeah. Yes. So she thought it was saying tool shed because her dad was always in his tool shed. And she loved that. So she's like, I want to sing the tool shed one. But we're not going to sing that one this morning. But talking about carols, you know, one of the things that I picked up this year at work where I work is I've taken on being a vice chair of the Occupational Health and Safety Committee at work. And I want to look at this Christmas carol and just rewrite it for you. Just think about this in terms of if carols were written in today's day, okay, with occupational health and safety. How many of you have ever dealt with an occupational health and safety issue? I tell you, we deal with it a lot. Here it goes. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. Okay, the Union of Shepherds has complained that it breaches health and safety regulations to insist that shepherds watch their flocks without appropriate seating arrangements. Okay, being provided. Therefore, benches, stools, and orthopedic... Whose phone? Is that mine? Thank you. Sorry about that. Orthopedic chairs need to be provided. Shepherds have also requested that due to inclement weather conditions at the time of the year that they are, they should watch their flocks via CCTV cameras. Okay, so We've got to do this, guys. It's occupational health and safety, all right. Please note, because it goes on, it says, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Please note, the angel of the Lord is reminded that before shining his or her glory all around, she must ascertain that all shepherds have been issued with glasses capable of filtering out harmful effects of UVA, UVB, and of glory. Okay, we must make sure. What about this one? We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Whilst the gift of gold is still acceptable, as it may be redeemed at a later date for cash, gifts of frankincense and myrrh are not appropriate due to a potential risks of oils and fragrances causing allergic reactions. So please, okay, we would have to change this carol to do away with myrrh and frankincense. Please note, as per the guidelines also of the RSPCA, the camels carrying the three kings of the Orient will require food and rest breaks. Face masks for the three kings are also advised due to the likelihood of dust from camels' hooves. How about away in a manger, no crib for a bed? Can you imagine that one in today's day, if that had been written today? There would be such social uproar. Social services will visit and may remove any child to a place of safety pending further action against parents or other persons who may be found guilty of neglect by not providing adequate bedding for the child. So why am I making these jokes about carols? Well, here's the thing. Context of carols, which was interesting when we're looking at thankfulness and joy this morning. And I'm picking out one of those carols this morning just to have a look at, and that's Joy to the World. A significant carol. But carols actually didn't arrive on the scene as Christian songs. They were actually involved in festivals in those days. And actually, they were sung not about Jesus. Carols were things that were sung as festival songs. And then people started to realize during the Puritan movement that when these songs were sung in public, people responded. And so the Roman Christians started to sing them in order to witness and to convert the pagans that were around them. And the songs about Jesus' birth had their origins in Roman Christian times. And they were this was the intention of Christmas carols. They were declarations about Jesus and his greatness. That's what they were there for. And so it's in that context I want us to look at Joy to the World this morning. I want us to pick out this one because I feel like God's saying, are you starting the coming year like you want to finish? With joy, with thankfulness in your heart. With an understanding that everything that I have for you is good, pleasing, and perfect. Our God doesn't do half measures, church. Amen? He doesn't bring us into a half measure when he looks ahead for us. And this is the thing. God looks ahead to where we cannot see. He looks ahead knowing what we do not know. And yet, that's the reason why we are called as Christians to live by what? Faith, not by sight. Because our sight limits us to the here and now, whereas the ever-present King knows what's to come. And he wants us to celebrate that based on faith, not based on sight. We live in a time where people are denying the authenticity for the need of God. True? How many of us, look, I mean, I've just been amazed at this seeming revival that's taking place across the states with the younger generation. Isn't that beautiful to see? Because I think people are starting in essence wake up to the fact that they need God. But there is a general denying of the fact that we need God. And when we look at the song of Joy to the World, what was it about? Well, we think, and we sing it at Christmas because we think that that's about a declaration of the coming of Jesus into the world as a baby. It wasn't. Actually, Joy to the World, when it was originally written, it was not written as a joy to the world, the Lord has come as a baby, it was actually about the second coming of Christ. It was actually written as a song heralding the fact that there would be an end to time, in which time the king would come back triumphant and come back as a second time coming king to rescue us for all eternity. Joy to the world. That's what it was about. It was based on Psalm 98. And I want us just to read the psalm this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, won't you turn with me? Psalm 98. Not sure why this is not responding. Sorry, give me one moment. There we go. Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm are working salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sorry, Fanny, this thing keeps on dunking out on me. You're gonna have to do it from your side. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. You can see here's the theme of the second coming coming in. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Amazing scripture. So it's really a heralding of a triumphant entry for the king who's coming back as a triumphant king. He's not just coming back as a judge, but he's coming back as a triumphant king. So when we think about what lies ahead of us, you know that's the end goal, but you know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is triumphant over our lives today. Amen? It's not just for when he comes back, but he's brought us into, what does he say, life and life abundant, and that is now. That is now. That's the saddest thing. Have you noticed that? It's the saddest thing when people who are Christians live for just the day that Jesus returns and absolutely do nothing in between now and then. And the scandal of heaven is that God saves us. He redeems us. But he wants us to live a joyful, fruitful, thankful, persevering, persisting, intense, missional life right now, full of his purposes. He has purposes for us today. Isn't that amazing? So the reason for it being a triumphant declaration was found in that first verse 1 and verse 2. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for us. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. So here's the thing. First thing to be thankful as you go into the new year. His righteousness, not our unrighteousness, has been revealed. Think about that, church. Do you know that the righteousness that we live under is nothing of our own? We are covered by the righteousness of Christ. And as we go into this new year with all our warts and blemishes and things, and if you look under that righteousness, it still looks ugly. Ask me, ask my wife, she will tell you there's things that are still under there are not so lacquer, not so good. But we're covered by the righteousness of Christ. So as we go into the new year, guess what? His righteousness is revealed in our lives, not our unrighteousness, church. We should be saying amen to that. God does not pursue us to condemn us. Religion does that. That's another thing for us to be joyful and thankful for as we go into this new year. God does not pursue us to condemn us. But can I tell you what? God will pursue you next year. Amen? God will pursue you. Even if you're saved, you say, yeah, I found him. No, he found you, first of all. But still, his pursuit of us does not end the day we saved. His pursuit of us is ongoing because he says, I have more for you. I have more for you. I have a fullness for you that you have not yet even begun to revel in. So he does that. God's pursuit of us is to reveal his righteousness in us and through us. It is his righteousness, okay? Which means that we have no part to play in righteousness other than to be on a path of sanctification where we're saying, Jesus, I know that I'm weak, I know that I'm frail, but I, as you pursue me, guess what? I want to pursue you. That's the response, church, for 2026 for us, I believe. He's saying, are you willing to pursue me? Because I am pursuing you. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for us. So the price of salvation wasn't cheap. And I believe when we stop pursuing Christ, it's not that we negate his salvation, because he saves us and we're brought into eternal union with him. But there should be an ongoing appreciation of the price that was paid for us, church. And so as we go into the new year, can I say to you, let's go into this new year continuously being thankful for the price that was paid. Continuously being joyful. Joy to the world. Joy to the world that the reason he can come back again and the reason he can take us to be with him is because he died and he rose again. And by that means, he brought us into salvation. So he has three quick points. And I'm going to be quick this morning. What brings joy to my world in 2026? What will make you thankful in 2026? Bio talked about if you get a car, and I said to him, he stole half my preach this morning. But, you know, maybe it's things. Maybe it's cars, maybe it's houses, maybe it's watches, maybe it's whatever you're thinking, oh, Lord, you know, this is what I want. Maybe it's people. You know, we can be thankful. Joy in my world, my family absolutely brings me joy. My friends, beautiful, bring me joy. What about experiences, you know? Anybody hoping for a great holiday in the Bahamas next year? Hey, put up your hands. There we go. Thanks, Bayer. You know, maybe that'll bring you joy. It's awesome. They are, but none of this, as much as we look at none of these things as being bad, they're all great. The ability to provide joy is limited. They can bring us into a happy place for a moment, but their ability to provide a platform, and that's the word I want to use, platform for joy is limited. Okay, God is the one that provides a platform for joy. If everything that we do rests on him, we will encounter stability. True? If it's on the rock, we are safe. If it's on the rock, we can be full of joy. It's unshakable. Job 20, verse 4 and 5 says this, surely you know how it has been from of old, ever since man was placed on the earth, that the mirth of the wicked is brief, the joy of the godless lasts but a moment. So basically, this is what that scripture is saying. It's saying when you look at things around us, when we look at stuff, when we look at all these things, it's not bad. God provides all of these things for us, I believe. But he doesn't provide them so that we can put our hope and joy in that. He provides them so that we have needs met, we have great experiences. All of that, I believe, is in God. But it's not the platform for thankfulness and joy, church. Don't let's look for 2026 to have moments where we say, oh, if only I have that, then I will be full of joy. No, you have the eternal Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is that our platform? If it is, we will have joy. Okay, Nehemiah 8 verse 10 is the answer. Okay, so Job 20 verse 4 and 5 is the problem. It says joy lasts just for a moment when we place it in these things. But Nehemiah 8 verse 10 ends with this. It says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of what? The joy of the Bahamas?
Nah.
Not good enough. The joy of even friends or family? Not good enough, church. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you know that God is building a strong church? Amen? For you and for us, for myself. He wants us strong. He doesn't want us limping. You know, how many of you, I get so irritated. Sorry, this is my flesh speaking. I get so irritated when I hear people, and I've had conversations with people, and they go, oh, Christianity is just a crutch for you. You know, I hate that thought, because it's like, you know, you're leaning and you're limping along like this, and now Jesus is. That is not the picture of what Jesus does for us. He's not coming so that we can now limp along. No, he's coming so that we have strength, that we have the ability to pursue him in the year ahead. We have the ability to rise up above the things that we see around us. We have the ability to look above, not below. You know, seated from heavenly places with him in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. So here's the second point. Why do I look for joy? Well, the basis for understanding this has to be our understanding of God himself. And I just want to make mention of this. Do you know that God in himself is absolutely complete? True? He is complete. He is lacking nothing. I've heard it preached that God created man because he was lonely. And he was like, I need companionship. So he created man. What utter garbage. God is complete. He lacks nothing. He needs nothing. It's out of that place that we need to understand that in God himself, he lacks nothing. It's like this. If you take a glass of water and I say to you, what can you add to water to make it water? Well, you can't add anything because water is water, right? And it's the same. You cannot add anything to God to complete him, because he is already complete in himself. So it's incorrect theology to say God created man because of a need. But off the back of that understanding and off the back of God's absolute contentment, church, and hear this, God is content. He is absolutely content. Does he have righteous anger against certain things? We know that that's true. But that doesn't take away from the contentment that is in God. In himself, he is complete and he is content. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Can I just clarify something here quickly as a point of interest? We are made, the scripture's clear, we are made in the image of God. From the time when we are born, not from the time we are saved. Can I say it again? It's an important point. We are made in the image of God from the time we are born, not the time we are saved. That's why inherently there is something that every person knows in their life is missing, because our destiny is to come back to the original intent. Sin took us away. God doesn't make us in one way and then says, okay, when you get born again, now you're going to be in my image. Every single person, this is the reason why he says, love your enemies. It's tough, but that person is made in the image of God. Sin distorts that true image and separates us from the Creator. Salvation restores the relationship between the Creator and the creation by removing the barrier of sin. But it does not, at that place, make us in the image of God. We are made in the image of God while we still knit in our mother's wombs. So here's the logical progression, and I hope you're following me this morning. If God is perfect and complete within himself, and we know he is, right? Then there is complete eternal joy and contentment within himself. Is that true? Okay? And because we have been created in His image, are you starting to get the picture? We will constantly seek for anything that will enable us to reach that place of contentment, because we are designed to live in complete contentment. Isn't that a thought? We are designed to live in joy. We design to live with complete thankfulness. We design to live in peace. We design to live with an understanding that all things work together for the good of those that love Christ. We designed to live like that. That's why some people will drive themselves to destruction trying to find that contentment, but they don't find it off of the platform of Jesus Christ Himself. And there is no way other than through Jesus. So that's why we look for joy. Matthew 13, if you understand this parable, it now makes sense. It says, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. The reason why was because he found the source of contentment, Jesus, the great pearl, the pearl of great price. You know the Westminster Catechism, it has this amazing words, if you know it. It says this: the chief end of God is to glorify God and enjoy Himself forever. I'll say it again. The chief end of God is to glorify God and enjoy Himself forever. So from that, you can therefore say this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. So where do I find joy in 2026? Well, the biggest problem is our default mode is to grab at the first things that gives us a slight bit of happiness, eh? I'm going to find that. Oh, that, you know? And we keep on trying to draw from different sources. It's like this. Have any of you ever tried to climb the shadow of a tree? If you looked at a tree shadow, it's there. Can you climb the shadow? You can't climb the shadow because it's not the real thing. It's an image. It's a frail resemblance of the real thing. If you want to climb a tree, you want to fully experience what climbing a tree is like, you can't climb the shadow, you have to climb the tree. True? Same thing. If we want to experience thankfulness and joy in 2026, church, we can't climb the shadow. We can't reach out for, oh, if only I do well in this, or if only if that happens, or if that happens. Those are shadows. They're shadows. Climb the tree. That's God's heart for us this year. Climb the tree. Climb the tree. Just means pour everything that you have. Pursue Him with everything you have in 2026. That song that we sing here often, in Christ alone, my hope is found. Let's live like that. Let's live like that. So here's the verdict, for lack of a better one, over us for 2026. You know, we can be like a little boy on Christmas, opening the packet and seeing a bicycle, or the mum opening a packet, the package in front of the kid, seeing a bicycle, and we can run to the bicycle. Okay, we can be thankful for the bicycle. But I saw a beautiful video the other day of a kid that was given a gift, and he opened this gift, and when he looked at it, he put the gift down and he just ran to his dad and he jumped into his arms. Thankful joyful. But his first go-to was not unwrap the present. It was run to the Father. And church, we're not here. Honestly, I feel God wants us to make a difference and an impact in 2026. But that doesn't come with us showing people shiny objects. Doesn't mean that we don't do things well as a church or in our own lives. God wants excellence. I believe that. But that is not the platform. Let's not put shiny objects as our goal. Let's say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for the venue that God's given us. Thank you for our music teams. Thank you for our kids' ministry. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our sound desk people. Thank you for the equip that's coming up next year. Thank you for all of these things. And then we put them down and we run to the Father. Amen? And we say, Lord, thank you that you are you. Thank you that you are my platform for joy. So Romans 8 verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, it's not a trade-off. And this is what we've got to understand, and this is what I want to say in closing. When you run to the Father, he doesn't take away the gift. It's still there. But now, there's a sense of understanding where the gift came from. Church, our friendships, we say to people, this morning I said, get up and say hi to somebody. That's not just doing the religious thing. But you know, and Baya said this morning, he said, I'm so thankful that I'm with you for eternity as friends. This is not something we take lightly. These are the gifts that have been given to us. Presents. Each one of you is a gift to each one of us around you. For this year, we want to say that you're a present. We run to the Father and we say, thank you for you. Thank you for you. Thank you for you. And it goes through not just with people, but with everything God gives us. So, here's the word to us. In thankfulness for joy. For joy and thankfulness for 2026. Stop searching for what you have already found. You found Jesus. If we found Jesus, we have already found joy. We've already found the source of thankfulness, the source of joy. Stop searching for it. Stop living like, oh, if only. You know, and I've had to speak to myself over 2025 because I've said a lot of if onlys. But God's convicted me of this. And I want to say to us, church, we're not a church that's called to live in the if only. We're not. We're called to live grateful for every single day, living in what we have already found, which is Jesus. Those things will come in time. God has a plan. His purpose never fails. His plans never fail. In fact, it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we can be secure in that. But let's not put our security in having to see it before we're thankful. Let's be thankful for what we already have found, which is the platform of Jesus Christ. I want to read, lastly, Zephaniah. It's a little bit of a longer passage, but I want to read this over you this morning. And I want to ask you just to close your eyes as I read this. But I want to prophetically proclaim this over you today. Because I feel like this is what the Lord is speaking over you and over me for 2026. Close your eyes and listen to this. Where it talks about Zion, where it talks about Israel, put yourself in that place. Put your name in that place. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, it will be said to you, fear not, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Behold, at that time I will deal with your oppressors. And I will save the lame and gather the outcasts, and I will change your shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. Can we stand together, church? Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful thing the Father says over you today? He said that over Israel. You know that Israel was God's chosen people. Guess what? Today you are God's chosen people. We are all in that group. And he says that over us. He says that over us. I want to just pray for each one of us this morning, that we would be living in that place in 2026, that we would be saying, God, man, thank you, thank you, thank you. Joy does not come from myself. Joy does not come from my circumstances, but it comes from you. Thank you that you did not spare your own son, but you gave him up for us. And in so doing, you graciously gave us all things, Lord. We sing aloud today, as did Israel in those days when that word was given to them. We sing aloud, Lord. We shout aloud. We say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that as we go into 2026, that we can rejoice in our hearts. We can say that you have taken away the judgments against us, Lord, that you've cleared away our enemies, that we need not fear, that, Lord, you are the mighty one who saves, that you rejoice over us with gladness. You rejoice over us with singing, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for every person here. I pray, Lord, as they go into 2026, and I include myself in this prayer, that, Lord, we would rejoice because you rejoice over us with singing. I pray that you'd quiet us by your love. Church, that is such a beautiful line. Quiet us with your love. All it means is let us make sure that he is our focus, church. That's the source. That's the river of life. Scripture in Revelation tells us the river of life flows, and along its banks grow these trees whose leaves are there for the healing of the nations. I feel like the Lord saying, you are oaks of righteousness. I've said that over this last time. The reason I put trees up over here for Christmas wasn't so that we'd have Christmas trees, but so that it would remind us that God has called us to be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. And I pray over us, I pray over each person here, Lord, that they would go into 2026 with roots that are firmly planted along the river of the banks of the life. The river of life on its banks, that they would draw water from you, Lord, from the wellspring of life that knows no end, that has no limit. I pray, Lord, that we would be those that climb the tree, not the shadow. We would be those that say, Lord, more of you, more of you. Fill us with joy afresh, Lord. Fill us with joy afresh this morning. Just feel like, just for a moment, church, maybe you need, and I need to just for a moment take a moment and put down, you know, a plumb line. You know, a plumb line is something that they use in building where it makes sure that when that wall is built, it's built steadfast and true and straight. Now, I feel like the Lord saying, set the plumb line now for 2026. Set it now. Set it now. Is the plumb line going to be me? Or is it going to be things and stuff? I feel like the Lord saying, set the plumb line. Set the plumb line that it will be joy in Christ. Set the plumb line that it will be thankfulness in Christ. Just for a moment, maybe just in your own heart, just say, Lord, I set it. I set it in place. I'm not allowing other things to distract me in 2026. I want you to be the source, you to be the goal, you to be the destination, you to be the one that I'm searching for, following hard after. Pray for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we say thank you for your grace. Thank you that you've brought us into lavishness. And we love you and we honor you. We give you glory and praise. Thank you for us getting to the end of this year and with the prospect of 2026. Thank you so much that, Lord, we can go in knowing that we have a king who rules and reigns, pursuing us, and we pursue you as we go into 2026. We love you and we honor you and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. I hope that's encouraged you, but honestly, God is excited about us.